Hare Krishna.
Started, Maharaj.
Okay. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunivari Pashtachari Sitarine Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Miritam Hina Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shrapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadar Harasi Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Actually, on this page we are reading from last week, we continue at the section where it says Shraddha is the minimum demand, about halfway down the page. I think we read that, but we'll start from there again. Just Shraddha is the minimum demand. So Krishna consciousness is causeless. That is, it has no beginning, and apratiyata, it has no end. So this is called ahoitaki apratiyata. Ahoitaki means causeless, and apratiyata means it cannot be interrupted. Whatever is causeless cannot be interrupted by anything, because only what has in it, what is caused by something. Can also, what has caused something to come into existence, that same thing can cause it to go out of existence or stop that. But what is causeless cannot be stopped by anything. So Krishna consciousness is causeless. We don't know where it starts, and therefore we can't see any end to that, because that is the inherent constitutional nature of the living entity. It is what we are made of and what we are made for. And so there's no question of it having been anything more fundamental that has given rise to Krishna consciousness. That is what is. And everything else besides that has some cause. Whatever is other than Krishna consciousness, that has some cause. And therefore that can end. But Krishna consciousness itself has no is constitutional reality of everything. Therefore, we can't find any beginning or end to that. It is the central flow or vibration or wave of reality. Any separate interest or separate consciousness is anartha. Anartha means necessity. Whatever is not a necessity, but is posturing as a necessity based on separate interests, that is anartha. What is necessary is to avoid the track of separate interests that misleads us, and to learn to have the infinite reading, the reading of the infinite, to identify with the universal flow, the universal wave. This, of course, is by Sridhar Maharaj writing. We are carried away by different waves of separate consciousness, that is anartha, that which is not necessary. The only necessity is to merge in the wave of universal interest that is for itself, for himself. Aham hi sarva yagyanam bhukta cha prabhureva cha. I am the only enjoyer of all these sacrifices or movements in this world. I'm the only enjoyer and everything belongs to me unconditionally. That is God's position. It is paramount, the highest harmonizing center. And we must all submit 10% to him. Any deviation from that is anartha. Yes?
Maharaj, actually, like, you know, God is the only enjoyer.
He is the enjoyer, yes.
And actually, all are to be enjoyed by God.
Bhaktaram chagyas, what is that word, verse? Bhaktaram chagyas sarvasam, sarvaloka maheshwaram, jiva bahu, what is that? Suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantam richati. He is the enjoyer, proprietor, and within the hearts of all living entities.
Maharaj, can I have a question so far?
Yes, Prabhu.
You said the bhakti is eternal and causeless, but I remember there is that description of Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion, that yes. Someone's bhakti starts with Agyata Sukriti and then Sadhusanga, etc. So he develops more and more his devotion. How to reconcile this, actually?
Yes, this is a very interesting point, because one point we'll find scripture telling that bhakti is causeless. And another point we find that associating with the devotees is the cause of bhakti. Associating with those who have bhakti is the cause of bhakti. So a way I reconcile that is to think that causeless means not that it doesn't have any cause, but that the cause of the causeless is its own self. Bhakti is the cause of itself, in other words. And when something is the cause of itself, then we can call that causeless or spontaneous. Huh? That it has no cause other than itself, that is also causeless. Another meaning of causeless. If something is the cause of itself, and that's the only way that it can be caused by itself alone, then that is also causeless and uninterruptible. Vaitakya pratiyata. Bhakti is the cause of itself, and it cannot be interrupted by anything else because only it itself has caused it. So if we look at it like that bhakti is caused by itself, and then therefore it is causeless by any other cause, then we can understand how that is harmonized with the idea that sadhu can cause the awakening of bhakti in us, because sadhu is also the embodiment or personification of bhakti. So bhakti creates bhakti, and that is what the meaning of causeless is also. Bhakti creates bhakti, or that is the meaning of what spontaneous is. Causeless and spontaneous means the same thing. What arises spontaneously is called causeless, and spontaneously means comes out of its own initiative. The initiative comes from itself only, and it produces itself from itself. There is one philosopher, his name is Spinoza, and he also had that same idea. Actually, he enunciated this idea first. This is not my idea, but he was the one who said, causa sui. Causa sui means what causes itself. And he defined that as what was fundamental substance. Fundamental substance is what? Is that which causes itself and has no other cause than itself. He called that fundamental. And so Krishna is also causeless in that sense. He has no other cause than himself. He is the cause of all causes. Sarva karana karana means that whatever he does, he is causing that himself to happen. There's nothing that is pushing Krishna to do anything. Out of his own initiative, he is creating everything, doing everything. So he is the cause of himself. Therefore, he is called causeless also.
Yeah.
Okay, does that make sense?
Thank Yeah, thank you.
Yes. All right. So, and whatever was I speaking? Anartha means meaninglessness. That which has no meaning, serving a purpose is to catch that universal wave, to have connection only with the universal movement. Anything other than that is anartha, undesirable, unnecessary. It will serve no purpose. We are in connection with anartha, the undesirable things that won't serve any real purpose. So our real cause, the purpose of our lives, our satisfaction in our existence, will be found within the universal wave of the absolute. That is called Krishna consciousness, the most universal, fundamental wave. We have to catch that wave. Our goal, our satisfaction, the fulfillment of our life is to be found only there in that plane, not in this superficial plane of nationality or family interest or social service. All these are provincial interests. So there's two kinds of interests. One is called universal interest. The other is provincial. Provincial interest, particular interest. So a material existence means to be caught up in provincial, localized interest. Interest that extends from the identification of the finite self with the environment. But there is another interest that is beyond the finite self, that is centered within the universal self. And that is the universal interest. So how to convert ourselves from this finite, localized, provincial interest to the universal flow, the universal interest of Krishna. That is the process of bhakti. That is what the meaning of bhakti is, how to develop that connection with that universal wave. So, but to stop one's movement altogether, to do away with one's own existence, to attain samadhi, cessation of all activity, that is suicidal. So we have to give up enjoyment as well as renunciation. Give up evil doing and also abstention from all action. In a nation, so many workers may be failing to follow the proper rules for production, and that is bad, that is disorder. The product will be bad. However, to go on strike won't produce good result either. No work, that is also bad. To work in the interest of the country, only that is good. He's giving an example here how the difference between our self-interest and universal interest may be practically realized in the work that we do within our own countries. Also, we see the same thing coming in when a country goes to war. What happens? The men, the people of the family members, they have to give up their family interest and go to fight for the country. And they may even have to give up their own self-interest and be willing to put themselves on the line, firing line, and risk death. So how much universal interest there we find in the ordinary situation of a citizen of a country. The citizen of a country has to consider the benefit of the country beyond his own family benefit when there is war, and beyond his own self-benefit even. So if that is possible to do for one's country, to take up the universal interest and deny our own provincial interest of family, of our community, of the whole society, and to give up all of that and simply to fight for the ideals that our country stands for, that is a very high level of universal interest. But even beyond that, beyond the country interest, there is even a higher universal interest. And that is giving oneself to the service of Krishna, the service of God. And that is the highest perfection of life. So this is not something imaginary. We are doing that already. It is not that this is something idealistic. Oh, you are talking like this. This is all simple words, imaginary things. No, it's not imaginary. This is very real. Just like we are seeing in our own lives and the history of the human society, there are all so many persons doing this already on the more mundane level of nation or of whatever, lower level, people who are humanitarians, they give up their local interest to help the people of the world, and a greater from a greater interest point of interest, they feel that they have to dedicate their lives to those kind of things. We have seen this Mother Teresa; she has done something like that. And even in the Catholic religion, there are so many persons who become missionaries, and they go to different countries, and they're giving up their family attachments and going to do that type of service for other people who are strangers to them, not their own family members even, but they are doing it. So there are so many instances of that, of taking up the universal interest and giving up this particular interest. It is already going on. But why to do it only on that limited degree? If you can do that, give up your personal interest for the supreme universal interest of Krishna consciousness, then you're achieving the greatest value in life. Then from our local separate interest, we must go to the universal interest, to the interest of the absolute. Avoid all local interest, however great it may seem, whether self-centered, family-centered, village-centered, province-centered, or human-centered. Mahaprabhu advises to purify ourselves with the help of sound divine. But the sound should be genuine, transcendental, Krishna conscious, the real wave. There is minimal demand from us for purification in this age of controversy. Kali means quarrel, controversy. Everything will create some doubt. Everyone wants some proof. Everyone has a very suspicious mind. Take advantage of the sound. A minimal demand is required of us because this process is very generous. The minimal demand, the minimal admission fee, is shraddha, faith. If we do this, if we perform this sankirtan, then everything will be done. That basic faith must be there. That attitude will help us. There should be heartfelt cooperation, sincere cooperation with the Krishna conscious agents that can purify us very easily. Shivendu Prabhu wants to join?
Yes, ma'am. I've added him.
Yeah, I have joined, Maharaj.
Oh, Hari Bol, Dhanavad, Shivendu Prabhu. So the minimal demand from us is to have the faith that this movement of Krishna consciousness will purify us. If we participate in this movement, everything will be done. Such a generous, wide conviction and sincere cooperation with the agents can help us in a very short time.
Maharaj.
Cooperation with the divine sound, the sound aspect of the Supreme, is easily approachable for beginners. From that, many other aspects of the infinite will come to our understanding. Yes, Prabhu?
Maharaj, actually, how we can understand about this, you know, agent, cooperation with agents, you know, Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. Agent.
Well, we have to consider how will we approach that? How will we approach the infinite, that infinite wave, the universal wave? How will we approach? How do we know what that is? Is there any way that it manifests itself to us? So, of course, the universal wave is touching everyone. That is the meaning of universal. It's touching everywhere. But not everyone is listening to it, even though it's in touch with everyone, of course. Not everyone is listening. Not everyone is able to detect what that is properly because some problem exists. Otherwise, why is there a material world and all working for some provincial interest? So there are two factors to consider. One, universal interest is there, but somehow or other there is also the ability to neglect that interest and to direct attention to one's own provincial interests or limited interests. And that potential is called free will. So the living entity possesses free will anyhow. By using that freedom to turn away from the universal interest to one's own particular point of view, then that creates the material conception of life, Maya, the illusory sense of independence from the universal will. Anyhow, the universal will is still there in us, but it's somehow or other missed. We missed it. We cannot see it, cannot detect it. Although it's covered, in other words. If it is there, but we can't detect it, it means it must be covered. Then how to get over that. So this conditioning, this covering, is very hard to cross. But if somehow or other we recognize that, no, this is the truth, I can understand so many provincial interests I may have, so many particular limited points of view, but they are all getting me into difficulty. I'm only seeing controversy in my life. I don't feel any peace, only difficulties. Then how do I solve this problem? And from those who have reawakened their universal connection, they're called agents of the universal, then we can get some help, some guidance, and some encouragement to again reestablish our universal connection. They are called the agents of the universal, because what is that? What are the agents of the universe? Those who have submitted themselves to the universal wave by some process of purification, discipline, grace, whatever. Some means they have made themselves available to the universal flow. Then from those persons, the universal flow is manifesting itself to those who have not awakened that consciousness. And so they are called the agents of the universal, the agents of the absolute, the Krishna conscious persons or devotees. So if we can come in touch with such agents and give our cooperation, then we may also, in a humble spirit, try to awaken that same universal connection that the agents are delivering to us, who have come to that stage somehow or other, universal manifesting himself through them, and we take advantage from them, that we may also come into that platform. And we may also come into that connection. Huh? What's that?
By universal flow, you mean bhakti or something else?
Yes. By universal flow, we mean bhakti. Bhakti means universal flow, means that we are serving Krishna's will, Krishna's desire. He is the enjoyer, and we have forgotten that. So by serving his enjoyment, by satisfying his enjoyment, we don't know at present, in our present conditioned existence, that by serving his enjoyment, we will get the real enjoyment we are searching for. We won't be able to get it by separately trying to enjoy, but by giving enjoyment to him. Just like Prabhupada used to give the example, the hand is picking the food. Goes out to the farm and picks the food. But if the hand tries to enjoy the food on its own, then the hand won't be able to enjoy like that. It has to give up the food to the mouth. And the mouth... The mouth will enjoy the food, and the benefit will go to the hand, because that's the way it is set. That is the way the system is created. There's a particular order. Hand and mouth are connected in a particular way. In the same way, we are connected to the Supreme Lord in a particular way. And the Veda teaches what is that system of reality of which we are a part. And they explain in so many scriptures, so many literatures, what is the proper order of things. And once that knowledge is had of how things are operating, then we can understand, oh, this is the way by which we become happy, by giving ourselves completely to the pleasure of the Lord, sacrificing our selfish pleasure for his pleasure. And what is the result? Well, not that we suffer anything. Rather, we get the enjoyment that we are always looking for. Because that is the nature of reality, and it is a very beautiful and wonderful and satisfying relationship. And all we have to do is remember that and learn how to live in that relationship and relieve ourselves from all this misconception that we have become encrusted with over so many lifetimes of misconception and misdeeds. That's all. A very simple scientific process. Yes? What's that?
Why you define bhakti as flow?
As what? A flow.
Yes.
It's a dynamic system. It's a dynamic system. It is not a static system. There's a movement flow. It is not not something that's merely static. Dynamic dialectical system. A living system, a It's like blood is flowing through the veins, air is flowing through the lungs. Everything is flowing. Nothing is standing still. So we belong to that movement. That movement that has its connection with Krishna. And when we satisfy Krishna, that satisfaction comes back to us, and we give more satisfaction to Krishna, and like that, there's a circular flow. So begin with the sound aspect. Begin with the sound aspect of the universal consciousness. So that's what we are doing. We are hearing about these things. And through this hearing, we are learning, oh, what is this universal consciousness? How do we reestablish it? And even just by hearing, we are reestablishing it because we are getting some information about what is the real business of our life. Huh? And from that knowledge, we can then orient our lives in that direction. The sound aspect is easily approachable. Huh? To hear about service is one thing. To actually engage in service is another. So easy, sound, hearing is easy. Other processes of actually acting and so forth in Krishna consciousness, that will come gradually. Our approach must be sincere, heartfelt. We are in trouble, and we need this. That will give us real relief from all troubles. It will put an end to all troubles that we are experiencing now, and also those that we may have to experience in the future. So qualifications for chanting the name. O Govinda, what can I do? There is not a single offender like myself. My Lord, I am ashamed to take my offense before you and have them forgiven. It is shameful even to point out before you that I am so heinous, that I am such an offender. I feel ashamed to recollect my own bad deeds. I feel ashamed that I shall take them to you and pray for their forgiveness. I am ashamed. Such a class of sinner am I. What more shall I say to you, my Lord? I am such a sinner. This is the nature of the high devotees. They think themselves unfit for service. What is the way? What is our destination? Progress toward this side, the negative, submissive side, our place is there at the furthest end. Farthest end of the negative side, the smallest of the small, the lowest of the low. Where do we cast our glance, our look? What should we do? Our goal is this, to reach that negative side sincerely. Self-abnegation to the extreme, this is the measurement. To become the lowest of the low, the goal is to realize our proper position there, lowest of the low. Is it possible at all? Is it imaginary, an imaginary quantity? For what purification may we aspire? Self-abnegation. Analyze.
Maharaj?
Analyze and discard. Yes.
Maharaj, actually, you know, these feelings, you know, like these, like, you know, what you can say, the great devotees, they have this kind of, you know, feeling of, you know, what you can say, they are not, what you can say, qualified to this. Actually, Krishna puts those devotees and, you know, creates such environment. And that is, you know, quite natural for them to feel like that, because they are like, you know, what you can say, always looking into their own faults and their own, you know, ineligibility.
Yes, what is your question?
So, Maharaj, actually, like for ordinary person, like, you know, how one should, you know, what you can say, you know, able to, what you can say, get this kind of, you know, situation, environment, that is only depend on their mercy.
Okay. So the Shastra and these descriptions like this from the saints, they are explaining to us what direction we should go in. That you go in the negative direction. And why? Why are they telling us like this? Because we are covered by the egoism of our own greatness, of our own wonderfulness. And they are telling that is a kind of conditioning. We are not really being honest with ourselves. That when one realizes that his real position is to be a servant, and we recognize that the whole time that I'm living, I'm trying to be the master of everything. I'm trying to push myself forward above others, to make my way, to establish myself here in this domain, and a completely forgetfulness of what my real position is. Such a sweet Lord was giving everything to us, our food, our air, the sunlight, the water, whatever we have is coming from Him, our bodies, our minds, intelligence, whatever features we may possess, wealth or whatever, family. All these are coming not by my efforts, but by the will of the Lord. And still, despite all that mercy that has been given to us, we are going on in an independent mood. I don't need God. I don't even know if He exists. I don't know even if I trust that such a thing is there. I don't know if I should actually surrender to such a thing. And I'm trying to find any way that I can make myself happy independently here in this world without having to depend on anyone or anything. All these things, these are very mean thoughts, ignorant thoughts. Because the real position is that they're just the opposite. So when one realizes I have all these mean and ugly thoughts within me and my whole life is based upon them, then what kind of sinful person am I to have this and not to recognize that supreme, wonderful, beautiful truth that is there at the bottom of all reality and that is conducting everything in this world. So there's a matter of sincerity, of being honest with oneself. And of course, it implies a little bit realization of what is the actual truth, what is the actual reality, and it should not be so difficult to understand. But anyhow, somehow by conditioning, it becomes very difficult for us. So therefore, it is necessary to hear from those who have been blessed by the Absolute, by Gurudev, and by their own sincerity have recognized something of that nature and are willing to discuss that with others. Now that is a process of purification, to recognize that our real position, what that is, and to take the humble position in, that is actually deserving of us, of our state of mind. And we should be humble. And actually, it is only by that process of again becoming humble that the real nature of our position will become known to us, that the Supreme Lord is the enjoyer, the predominator, and we are the predominated and enjoyed. And we can only realize that through serving the enjoyment of the Lord, through service, and stop engaging in this exploitative, demanding attitude of that everything in this world should be subordinate to my control, to my wish, to my enjoyment, to my satisfaction. Well, you have to work very hard to get free from that mentality. And that happens also by the grace of Krishna, by the grace of Guru. More closely we remain in the company of those who have given up all those things, the more we'll be forced, you can say, to go in that direction of that thing we are associating with, those devotees we associate with, we will also be inclined to go in that position that they are striving for. You get your particular mood from those whom you associate with, who are trying to exploit others, just like a young man may be sitting with other young men, and they are looking at the girls, and they are cutting so many jokes and saying so many lewd things. And so we are associating with them. We will begin to think, oh, this is the natural way to behave. Let me also behave like that. Then I will be accepted by them. And that way we become conditioned to that kind of mentality. But in the same way, when we are associating with devotees who are discouraging that type of behavior, who never even think of engaging in that type of behavior, and then we will also go in that direction and make our progress in the spiritual dimension.
Maharaj, actually, this, you know, what you can say, humility will be, what you can say, achieved when one is actually, you know, constantly disciplined by the guru and, you know, sadhu who are, you know, that, you know, what you can say, they can implement this discipline in us, then only we can get this. Otherwise, it's not possible, because we are life after life, you know, habituated to this kind of, you know, what you can say, independent, you know, what you can say, thinking and, you know, what you can say, acting process.
It may be, but at least we will have a chance. Now, we don't know what the outcome will be of our association, but anyhow, it will give us some impetus to go in the proper direction, and that will be the most we can do. Well, the most we can do is try to take that good influence in our life, allow that to influence us.
Yes,
and then, after that, we can only rely on the mercy of the Lord. Mercy of the Lord. He is all in all. And He, no matter how much service, no matter how much discipline we undergo, ultimately it is up to the Lord to give us that result. What we can't say is that by our sadhana, we will get the result. Sadhana means we are practicing and praying that the result may come by the mercy of the Lord. That's all.
Yes.
But otherwise, no matter how much we pray, no matter how much we sacrifice, if the Lord is not pleased, then He won't give any result to us.
Yes.
And if He is pleased, immediately He can give to anyone.
Yes.
So analyze and discard. Analyze and throw out all egoistic and assertive tendencies. I am something, I am someone, I have something to be proud of. These have to be eliminated, and eliminated completely. It's not an easy thing. To become big is easy, but it's all false, like racketeering. To say I'm a big man is very easy, but to say I am nothing, to accept this creed in its true color, its true nature, that is very difficult. I am no one, I am nothing. It is very difficult. I remember once I heard this story about one man in India. He was living in a tree. And people were coming from all over the place to see this man living in the tree. And they would go there, and he would sit in the tree, and he would be saying only one thing. I am nothing. I am nothing. I am nothing. Like a bird, he was sitting there in the tree and claiming like this. I am nothing. And people were coming from miles around to see who they consider the saintly person living like a madman in the tree, claiming like a bird, I am nothing, I am nothing. That kind of realization, if we can have that, is very high, actually, and is also truthful. Nowadays, scientists are telling us this universe, how many light years it is across, how many light years big this universe is. And we are a very small part. We cannot see ourselves in that universe of that dimension. We are insignificant, nothing we can say in comparison to that. So that point of view is correct. We are nothing from that point of view. At the same time, although we are infinitesimal means almost nothing, because we are part and parcel of Krishna, we have some value. That's the only value we have. The soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and He is God. And so, if we are part of that, then some significance is coming to us. Not on our own merit, but because of whom it is that we are connected. And that is a proper consciousness. So Vaishnava hoite bhara, mani jiru sada, trinadapi shloke tripure gelo bhara. There is a familiar saying in Bengal. I had a great aspiration to become a Vaishnava, but when I came across this verse describing the qualifications of a Vaishnava, trinadapi sunichena tarodapi sahishnuna, I was disappointed. It is not possible to be humbler than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. Amanina manadena, give honor to everyone, but don't aspire after honor. In this attitude, we should take the name of the Lord of Krishna, then our desire will be fulfilled. We have to take the name of Krishna with such an attitude. We must be humbler than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. When the tree is cut down, it still gives shade to the logger. and it doesn't beg anyone for water. Such forbearance. In this way, we have to take the name of Krishna, and we shall find his help at once and in no time. The standard, the qualification for taking the holy name, has been recommended thus by Mahaprabhu. Trinadapi Suniche Natarorapi Sahishnuna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. One can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, and that is from Mahaprabhu Shikshastakam. The 8 shlokas that Mahaprabhu gave his whole teachings in. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura explained that we are actually lower than the straw in the street, because in our present existence we are vikrita, or deranged.
What is matter? Deranged?
Deranged. Deranged means vikrita, means perverted. Means crazy, like not sane.
Mm-hmm.
But the straw is at least passive in maintaining its neutral natural position. But we have lost our proper function and become of negative value. We are lacking the positive value of straw because we are adverse to our natural position. We are going against our own interests with our intelligence. We have intelligence, but it is misguided, opposed to the proper order of things. The straw is poised. It cannot move willfully, but we can move in a wrong way. So we are actually in a more heinous position than the straw. We use our assets willingly to misguide ourselves, but the straw maintains its fixed position without deviation. So we are less than the straw on the street. That's why it is said to be lower than the straw on the street. Mahaprabhu told, you must consider yourself lower than the straw on the street. Why? Because the straw is passive, but we are intelligent. And straw is passively resistant, but we are actively resistant to the right thing. Straw merely blows in the wind, but we will resist the wind when it is blowing even in the proper direction and blowing us toward what is our real goal. We will fight that. So our position is less than the straw. So in the worldly sense, we may hold a position superior to that of a blade of grass or a tree. But what of that? All our credit is being misused for our selfishness. So we are lower than straw. We are armed, but armed for suicide. A madman should not possess a dagger. He is dangerous. He could stab himself at any moment. He is mad, after all. That is our deranged. That is our deranged condition of life. We have this knowledge. We have this intelligence. We have this power of discrimination. So many things we have. But all those powers, when they are in the possession of a madman, what are they doing? We can see how modern man today is raping the environment, destroying his own environment, polluting that place in which he is living by a scientific, so-called scientific advancement of knowledge. And what he is doing is creating a nightmare for himself and others. And this is the kind of, this is the result of the misuse of intelligence. I was reading just recently that the bee population, the bees are being diminished. Bees are very important because they are distributing the pollen to the different fruits and vegetables and nuts that are necessary, that are growing in the fields and by the farmers. They need the bees to pollinate the various fruit-producing and nut-producing trees. And because the population is somehow being decreased due to some pollutant in the environment, they are thinking like that, then the fruits and nuts are becoming scarce. And anyone who wants to purchase them, they have to pay very high prices now. And all over we are seeing prices of food are rising. Supposedly, scientists have created all these pesticides, fertilizers, and so forth to increase food production. But what is the result? They are creating worldwide famine.
Yes, Maharaj.
By their attempt to improve the situation, they have created hell. Hell on earth. Why? Because they are neglecting the natural arrangement of the Lord, and they are thinking they are more clever than Him, and trying to subvert His processes. The proper process for creating abundant food is to offer sacrifice to the Lord. To take your food and offer it to the Lord in sacrifice and in praise. Thank you, O Lord, you have given this wonderful food to us. And by your grace, we are offering it to you in remembrance of your wonderful love for us. And in love, we are offering it back to you. That will satisfy Krishna, and that will bring more food production. Krishna will be happy, the universe will be happy, and it will abundantly produce for the living entities, and they will also be happy. A very simple process is given there. But as becoming more sinful, they try to create this Ugra Karma, this scientific, so-called scientific advancement of knowledge, and they are creating more difficulties for themselves. This is the situation. Madness, derangement. Krishna is everywhere. Krishna, 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 where is Krishna? Come to that level, come to that plane, and we will see Krishna is everywhere. But our eyes and our senses are attracted to the charms of different places, and we have no time to look towards Krishna. Sabata Krishna Mukti Kari Janma. Everywhere there is perception of Krishna, but our sight is captured, attracted by so many floating charms that we cannot see Krishna. Our prejudice for the outside world has covered our eyes, drawing all our attention towards them, and we can't see Krishna. We can't see the real well-wisher, the real guardian, the real friend, the real lover. We are so busy with our transactions, with external things, that we have no time at all to look towards Him, ignoring our best friend. This transaction with the outer environment is continued by our false ego, the false personality. That is the position of a person in bondage, a fallen soul. Our true self is not represented in the transaction that is going on in our name. The senses, the mind, and intelligence are surcharged with other interests, and they are conducting a false transaction. This is a hopeless position. Sarva pati vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam. Anyatarupam, that which is just like a disease, undesirable foreign things have come to cover us. That is upadi, a foreign and undesirable element. So we must disown our foreign covers, all these false identifications with the outer dress, disown them all, do away with them. They are unnecessary. We thought them to be our friends, but they are our enemies. We must be concerned with a person within the soul and that is not illusion, but truth proper. This is Anyatarupam. Successfully eliminating these enemies, we must come to our proper positive position in the world of love and beauty.
Maharaj? Maharaj, yes. You know, like this mind and intelligence and senses, so actually, they are actually surcharged with other interests. So Maharaj, it is not possible, like, you know, to sometime, you know, they cheats, you know, because at most, you know, whatever, you know, peasant, you know, what you can say, way of, you know, understanding things, you know, we all are having, is to try to look which is good or bad by using our mind and intelligence. So Maharaj, whether mind and intelligence is in proper direction or not, we cannot judge it by mind and intelligence itself. So then, you know, how, what procedure one should adopt in that situation?
So, beyond mind and intelligence, there is the satisfaction of the heart. And the heart knows whether it's being satisfied or not. How much intelligence you have, you'll go in certain directions, make certain discriminations. But after you make those discriminations, just like I'm saying with the scientists, they have so much intelligence. And what they are seeing, however, is that the result is very unsatisfying. They are thinking, and they are doing good thing, But the result is, afterwards, they realize, oh, I've created much suffering for myself and my fellow persons, fellow citizens. I've created much distress. Now here I am using my intelligence, but the result is something bad, something evil. So that works upon the heart, not the head. So the heart knows what is what it wants, what is satisfying. So we can't always look at the intelligence. We have to somehow always become sensitive of what the heart is telling also. And that's called sincerity. The sincere heart will know what direction to go in.
Maharaj, actually...
So if you follow that heart, it will lead you, may lead you. Also, heart is not pure. It can always give us the right thing. But anyhow, we could at least have that. And the heart of a devotee that is purified by Agyata Sukriti, like Avadhut Prabhu was telling, or some type of Sukriti, coming in touch with the devotee when the heart is of good-natured heart, he will see that, oh yes, here's something that I'm feeling is correct. That I'm feeling is satisfying. He's giving some pleasure to my heart, and I'm feeling that I want to go in this direction more and more. That is called heart business. That is called Shraddha. That feeling of the heart that wants to be attracted in that particular direction, that is what Shraddha is. Shraddha is not an intellectual thing. It's far beyond intellect. Faith. Faith does not require intellect. Generally, they think people of faith, they have no intelligence. They're relying on some imaginary thing. No, it's not imaginary. There is a deeper part of all living entities that is beyond, higher than intelligence, and more fundamental than intelligence, and that is directing us all. And that is the satisfaction we are finding in any endeavor. Satchitananda. Above sat, above chit, there is ananda. Sat means what is around us. Chit means the knowledge of what is around us. And ananda means the fulfillment that we are finding from all of that. In all of that. Ananda holds the highest position. Rasa, taste, feeling. Satisfaction. So that one is awakened when we can recognize that, and that is directing us, and somehow or other that is of good quality, and then we will feel that heart attraction to our devotional life and the service of the Supreme Lord, the service of the universal interest, that will come naturally to us, and that is called Shraddha, and that will direct us. That is not lower than intelligence. That is a higher thing.
So Maharaj, actually, you know, this, what you can say, intelligence, the dependency on intelligence. Maharaj, some echo is coming. I think it's from Kamlesh Trivedi Prabhu, I think. Can you mute your microphone, Prabhu? Kamlesh Trivedi Prabhu. Hare Krishna? Or not from Kamlesh, I think, Maharaj. It is coming from either Avadhut Prabhu or Aman Kumar.
Yes. Kindly all mute your microphone until you want to speak something.
Hare Krishna, can you mute your microphone? Hare Krishna?
Aman says, is it muted from the start?
Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, I have a question.
You mute your microphone, Prabhu. I think echo is coming from you, I think.
I will mute it, yes, but I would like to ask
you have a question.
About,
all right.
A short one. You spoke about association. That with who we associate, such qualities we get. And there is one shloka in Bhagavatam that one who is neutral may be avoided like an enemy. So could you explain this? Because yeah, usually we should be merciful to those who are neutral or innocent. But here is mentioned Bhagavatam 10.24.5 that one who is neutral may be avoided like an enemy.
May be interested in renunciation. Neutral means they are interested in renunciation. So that is not beneficial. That is called passive hostility. Those who are passively hostile to the Lord are in the neutral position. So that is also hostility to the love, to the flow of love. Those who are against Krishna and those who are neutral, who are on strike, that is two kinds of hostility toward the Absolute. So we may not like to come into close connection with them. But we must be compassionate and try to preach, but not to maintain any close association with them. For what they are doing is not favorable to their own development. Neither will be favorable to encourage us in our development in the proper direction of dedication, service. Any other question? Shushan, you had a question?
Yes, Maharaj. Actually, I was asking dependency on this mind and intelligence, Maharaj. So actually, yes. It can only be given up if Maharaj actually somehow mercy from above comes, and some past good things are there, or a soul is sincere.
Most important one is the last one. By your sincerity, as I said, that is higher than all these other things. Your heart is higher, highest thing. So, just as Srila Maharaj was telling, this genuine feeling of unhappiness with our own misdeeds, our own fallen condition, becoming so honest with oneself that he recognizes that his position is of that nature, of negative nature. And this loyam, this desire to want the satisfaction or the mercy of the Lord to come in his life, they will be the requirements for one who gets that mercy. And automatically he conquers over the mind and then intelligence by that process. That is the meaning of conquering over the mind, letting your heart lead the way.
So Maharaj, that Shraddha leads an individual to take what you can say Krishna's authenticity or his Krishna's repetitive shelter, Maharaj.
Shraddha is the only thing we have. That means that we put everything in the hands of Krishna. Shraddha means that. I don't put it in my intelligence. I don't put it in anything else, only in Krishna's hands. Then, even he may not answer my pleas, even he may not answer my cries, I don't lose my faith in him. That is the test of faith, and that is the qualification of faith that is needed, and before Krishna will give us his grace. It has to be all centered on faith, all based upon faith. Even he may be harsh toward me, may ignore me, whatever. I'm praying sincerely and no answer is coming from him. Then I say, oh, there's no Krishna. That was all imagination. No, that's not faith. Even in those negative situations, faith is there, very strong, unshakable, causeless and uninterruptible. That kind of faith will be required. Such a person will get Krishna's mercy by the grace of the Lord. Even then, we don't know. It's up to him. What's that, Prabhu?
Dandavat, yes? Maharaj. I think regarding this faith, in Gita, actually, even full chapter is there, which is devoted to this Shraddha. So in that actually it has been described that Shraddha is also three divisions, which is in mode of goodness, mode of passion and mode of ignorance.
Right.
So actually in that regard, our Guru Maharaj, when he was visiting Charlestown, Professor Charlestown, so Charlestown says that there is a faith involved in science also. Like for example, we have faith in our, mathematical equations, we have faith in our, teachers, or even when we are going in a bus, we have the faith that the bus will take me to my destiny without any accident. When we fly in the air, we take an aircraft, then also faith is involved. So faith is, so Charlestown says that the very basis of science also is faith. So it indicates that in Krishna consciousness, the faith assumes a very, sublime understanding, some kind of an, it seems that has, that requires some a meditation, that what really the faith really is all about in Krishna consciousness. So I think, Maharaj, we need some more, light about this actually. How that this faith in Krishna consciousness and faith in ordinary mundane things is different.
Oh, if we are ready to put our faith in the bus driver or the pilot of the aircraft, we are putting so much faith in them. But are they supplying the sunlight? Are they supplying the water? Are they supplying a grain of rice? Are they supplying your intelligence, your strength, your health, or supplying that? You can't find that in any finite person or any finite thing. Then how much more faith we should put in Krishna than in all those other things? All those we are putting our faith in, they are also the creations of the Supreme Lord. It's like the difference between the painter and the different paintings he has made. You are like the paintings, this painting, that painting, maybe so many paintings there that are there. Painter we are ignoring. We don't even see the painter. I like this painting, I like that painting. But the painter is more important than those paintings. If we like the paintings, why will we not like the painter who is producing them? So like that, Krishna is the supreme creator of all those created objects that we put our faith in. Then why we will not put our faith in Krishna? Yes. Isn't it?
Yes, Maharaj.
Like that, I think we have to consider in that line.
So Maharaj, it depends on, what you can say, individuals, development. Like a child, Maharaj, actually, when he takes birth, it may have, as you are telling in past this, Maharaj, actually, it may understand, depends on the, parents and, this, mother. Then slowly, it expands, actually, understand, more, relations, Maharaj, more, what you can say, it's, what you can say, help it is receiving from, some higher, what you can say, universal aspect, and then, further higher, like that, Maharaj. It's, what you can say, understanding grows. About,
Yes. Any other question? All right.
Maybe I could have one more question.
Yes, Ro.
It's a little bit more on Prayojana, but we had a discussion and there was a question, are there marriages in Krishna Loka and newborn babies therefore?
I know that Krishna is born in Mathura. Other babies we haven't heard about. So I'm not, acquainted with that platform, what's going on there or not going on there. But only I have heard about Krishna's birth there, so I would say that it's possible.
Okay, is that Bauma Lila?
Huh?
When Krishna takes birth, is that only Bauma Lila?
Bauma Lila? Lila? You mean Lila only in Gokula?
Yeah.
Is it only happening in Gokula or Goloka? None different.
Yeah, only in Goa.
No, it's none different.
Only in the material universe.
No, what happens in Gokula happens in Goloka also. They are none different. Although Krishna is unborn, Aja, he is still born. How do you understand that transcendental position?
So sometimes Krishna is taking birth in the spiritual
yes.
world.
So that we can understand that in the mundane sense. Then there's a transcendental birth. So if everything happens in the transcendental plane, it can't be understood in the same way as in this mundane sense. It is transcendental. So don't try to imagine what's going on in this world as happening in that world. That won't be beneficial.
Yes, Maharaj, as you told, is completely reflected vision, Maharaj.
Maharaj,
in this world, actually, as you...
Maharaj, one thing... Maharaj, one thing is... One question will come here, because it has been said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the firm faith in this devotional process. So the question is that, Maharaj, what is the process by which Shraddha develops? Because it is not possible that somebody will have immediate faith on very... wonderful, very sublime kind of subject. It's like we don't have a faith in, we cannot grasp the high subject matter immediately. So I think to have a firm faith in this process, it also involves some kind of a process. So what is that process, Maharaj?
Yes. So the only elements that proceed before faith are called Agyata Sukriti and Sukriti. The good deeds that we do in connection with the devotees, merits that we gain somehow or other in connection with Vaishnavas, knowingly or unknowingly, that will lead to faith. Who has somehow or other taken the foodstuffs offered to the deities or the devotees, or has given some paisa to a Vaishnav out of compassion, something like that, without knowing what they were doing, may have created some good merit within their hearts. Who have some nice thought about devotee, who have read some book, and they have some nice feeling from reading that book, some generous feeling, that this is very nice, they will get, their heart will be fertilized, become fertile for associating with the Vaishnavas and feeling some attraction, some satisfaction in their company, and from that will develop faith.
Yes.
Otherwise, how do we know about Krishna in our life? We only know about Krishna and can have faith. Therefore, we can't have faith in something we don't know about. So how do we know about Krishna? From some devotee. We can say we read some book, but who is that book written by? Book is also written by a devotee.
Yes.
Even the Vedas,
yes.
Vedic Smriti, Smriti, yes, are written by devotees. So like that, we can get some information about Krishna consciousness from them. Now then, faith then means in the devotee first, who is speaking about those things, about Krishna. We must have faith in what they are saying. So that comes from, like I'm saying, Agyata Sukriti and Sukriti. some good merit in our hearts that has made us receptive to hearing about those things and to feeling some comfort, comfort in hearing those things.
Yes.
Some pleasure we gather from hearing those things. That will lead us then by the devotee's encouragement and instruction, any doubts and so forth and so on in our hearts. They will become clarified, purified, and gradually we will be able to see more deeply into the reality of that section of the absolute, which before was not clear to us, will become clear, and like that, more and more faith will develop as we go along.
Maharaj,
Maharaj,
telling you know the difference between this world and the spiritual activity in the spiritual world, Maharaj. Actually, Maharaj, this is known as a reflective, reflection of the spiritual activities here, Maharaj, in this world. Here, everything is based on, lusty, desires, Maharaj, here. Our actions are, exploiting, platform, or, renouncing platform, Maharaj. So then, Maharaj, actually, to understand, that, activities which is beyond, these are, lower ways of understanding, then we need to that vision from, devotee, from, guru. That is the way, Maharaj, we must, desire for.
Yes, that's what we are told in scripture, Guru Parampara. We can learn through that process. What is descending?
Maharaj, Aman Kumar Prabhu has asked one question here, Maharaj, in the chat.
What's that?
I think idea is the more important, not the person. Einstein is known for his idea. People come and go, idea remains, idea. He says, like that.
But maybe idea is more important, no doubt. But we can't have idea without the person. How do we? Who is the making the idea, and whom is the idea to be held? And idea implies that there must be person. Idea is person. Actually, idea is person himself. Idea is personal only. In Hegel, idea is person. Self-conscious is self-conscious, conscious of itself. That is the real idea. In our philosophy, the highest idea, the highest ideal is Krishna. There is nothing no higher. He is the ideal person, and he is the highest ideal at the same time. Idea in itself and for itself. It means the idea is for itself, and is therefore it is conscious of itself. That will be very difficult for an ordinary person to understand how the idea can be personal. Because we consider idea something that I have, something in my mind. But if you think of idea like that, that is something that I have. That is something abstract that I have. Then how is the idea higher than the person who has it? Idea is created, that kind of idea is created from the person. But that's not the right idea. That's not the right conception of idea. Actually, idea is more than substantial than the person. It's not something that merely I have in my head. Idea is the substantial reality beyond the person. And it's from the idea that the person is coming. But the idea, that highest ideal like that, the absolute idea, is not impersonal. He is personal. He is himself. The absolute person, the absolute ideal, the absolute person are one and the same. That is Krishna. So, otherwise, it is Mayavad philosophy. Okay, I think we'll end. Now it's getting late.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Yes.
All glories to His Holiness Bhakti Mata Puri Maharaj.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for being here.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Kr